Hello, everyone. I'm Jesse Mignocchi, Director of Promotions for KCR College Radio, and I'm joined today in the KCR studios basement of Lambden Hall with some amazing people. Do you want to start and introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Izzy. I'm the chair of Greenfest this year.
Nice.
Hi, I'm Nick. I'm the drummer of Koshin.
Hey, I'm Isaiah. I'm lead guitar for Koshin.
Hi, I'm Katie. I'm the lead singer and rhythm guitar for Koshin.
Hi, my name is Zen, and I'm lead bassist for Koshin.
Lead bassist.
Awesome. Thank you guys for coming today. How are y'all doing?
Good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Yeah, feeling good? Yeah.
Pretty much.
So, this week, you guys are performing at Greenfest, opening for Denzel Curry.
Woo!
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Very exciting.
I am the one, though.
Yo, he has to do that one, honestly. So, before I start, how does it feel, like, to be opening for an act like Denzel Curry? Like, anyone is open to just jump in. Yeah?
It's weird.
Yeah?
Any other band I've ever had to open for, I have to explain why it's sort of like a big deal or anything.
Yeah.
Like with Denzel Curry, people just like...
No.
They know. Uh-huh. It's like, oh shit, it's Denzel Curry. Wait, can I curse?
You're fine.
Yeah.
Oh shit, it's Denzel Curry.
I had to get the productions director, you know, green light.
I'll
Zen.
Okay.
You're going to do that a lot.
It's all good. Zen, I know you said you love Denzel Curry. How does it feel like personally for you?
I mean, definitely like Nick was saying, it's kind of surreal. It's one thing to be opening for an artist that you kind of just tell people, and based on the name alone, they really know kind of across the board.
Yeah.
And growing up, you know, going in high school and stuff like that, I wasn't the biggest hip hop fan. But as far as some of the hip hop I did dip into and listen to, Denzel Curry was a big part of it. So for me personally,
yeah,
it was like I was through the roof when I found out about it, and I'm like, yeah, my friends back home are gonna be like, this is so cool and shit. Like I was. So happy.
That's good. Hell yeah, bro. I'm proud of you guys.
Do you mind? It's a little low on the audio.
Okay.
Can you turn the mic up or just move it closer?
Okay. I don't know if I'm talking to the back of it. I feel like when I'm talking, I can be like, swing this thing this way.
Or it's like, bam, 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 bam.
Yeah, I don't know. That'll be.
All right, solid. So for Izzy, I just wanted to know, like, how does it work to get an act like Denzel Curry and like bringing the headliner on? Like, can you go into the process of that?
Yeah, so Greenfest has a collaboration with Live Nation, and they're kind of our middleman between us and whoever the headliner is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So we start out by making a wish list, and it's a really long, you know, sizable list so that we give Live Nation a lot of choices to work with at first.
Yeah.
So we come up with a lot of different artists, knowing our price range too. So some of them right off the bat are too expensive, but then we want someone that's at least decently well known.
Yeah.
So we create that wish list based on that and based on what we think students are going to like. And after that wish list is created, we basically send it over to Live Nation and tell them what our budget is. So they take that and then they come back with an artist in mind and just want you to confirm, yes, reach out to that person for us.
Mm-hmm.
So once we say yes, they do. And then the artist will then confirm yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
And if they say yes, we either give the go ahead or we can, you know, talk about it one more time. But we were really excited about Denzel Curry. We had a lot of big names, I think, to live up to, because T-Pain was last year and that was really fun. And then Gunna was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And Gunna was actually 2 years worth of budget, because the year before that was 2020. So it was COVID and there was no concert.
Yeah.
So I had big shoes to fill, but we tried our best and we're really excited about Denzel Curry being the headliner, and that's kind of the process and how it works.
Was it a lot of back and forth with like the artists you guys were given and what you wanted?
Most of our communication was just through Live Nation rather than any performers or artists.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pretty smooth process though. It was very concise, I would say, because Live Nation, as you know, is a very large entity.
Can you like give us any other names that you like were on that wish list?
Well, there were some that were immediately out of our budget that we came up with. Somebody wanted Olivia Rodrigo. Somebody wanted. Somebody said Kendrick Lamar, and I said, I wish. I said, I wish, but how much money do you think we have?
Yeah.
Not enough.
I was saying, bro, Ice Spice, that would be so
I will say that was on our list. But the list is big, to be fair. It's a really large list, because if you want them to come back with someone that is on your list, it's obviously good to have a lot of options. So we separated our artists by genre. We just know in the past that hip-hop tends to be popular.
Mm-hmm.
But we came up with a really big list, and then what we did is we made a top 20 of who we thought was both in our price range and would be popular with students. So, and I will say Denzel Curry was in our top 20, so we got lucky there.
No, phenomenal. Yeah. I'm loving that. Well, great choice. I think everyone can say Denzel Curry is a phenomenal artist to go through.
For sure.
Being like SDSU students, do you think this continued like event, Green Fest, and just like the environmental awareness has like improved the campus like culture?
I definitely think it has. It Green Fest is unique because it focuses almost exclusively on event planning.
Yeah.
So it's that week-long series of events that's going on right now, and all of our events seek to promote and celebrate sustainability as well as diversity and SDSU pride on our campus. So it's a great way to engage students, let them have fun, do some great activities. There's educational aspects to our events sometimes as well, where they can learn a little bit about sustainability and what's currently going on.
Yeah.
And the concert is a nice way to bring attention to Green Fest and the rest of our events that we do that promote sustainability. So I definitely think it adds to our campus in that a lot of people have fun at our events and hear about our concert. And I even just got into Green Fest because I went to events in the first place and thought they were really fun. So
this whole week is the Green Fest like kind of build up?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So this whole week is Green Fest. We started yesterday with two events. It was Mind, Body, Soil and then Discover Your Roots. Today was the Sustainable Career Fair. And then we have events going throughout the week. And the week ends on Friday with the concert kickoff from 6 to 7 in the Student Union. And then obviously the concert at 7.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Back to Koshin, can you guys give me some like background on how you guys started out as a band or like
So it kind of just started out with me having this like idea of like I just want to be a band in college, like join a band, be in a band, and I've written songs before, so it would be even the cherry on top if I could write music and then perform it in front of a college audience. And you know, it came as just as a conglomerate and just asking these guys to fulfill that vision and to do that. And you know, at first it started with like frats and parties, more covers, but then it just became this actual thing where we got to play venues, like pretty good ones, big ones, and you know, just show after show. I think there was one time we had like 5 shows a week.
Wow.
It was crazy. So that's kind of how it started, and here we are now. And you know, we're all, most of us are gonna graduate, or I guess us too. But, you know,
where did you guys like meet? Like,
yeah, so it's been a lot of different. I'll just go into the, you know, how Katie, you know, pulled and stole people. So I started out with Nick. I was like talking to my friend at a frat party, and I was like, yeah, I need a drummer. And he goes, oh, I know a guy. He lives in my dorm. And then that was Nick. He was, you know, just a freshman at the time.
Shout out to Colin.
Yeah. And then then I played a show with Nick, our first show together, and the opening band was a band that Isaiah was in, and, you know, I kind of just stole him from that band. I was like, hey, you should be our lead guitarist.
Well, actually, I introduced myself first, not gonna lie. I was like, can I be your lead guitarist?
So, put himself out there.
She didn't even have to try that hard.
I was playing hard again, I guess. And then me and Zen were both actually president and vice president of this club called Aztec Music Group on campus, which is a music business club.
Co-collaborator.
I was president.
Yeah.
Okay,
big crazy
Z. I was the VP. A woman could never be president. It's okay. I was the Kamala to his Biden, so all good. But yeah, and he was like, oh, look, I'm down.
Will you shut up, man?
Joe, we did it.
We did it, Joe.
We did it, Zen.
That's the green. That's what a green fest. We did it.
We did it, Zen. But yeah, so Zen was like, "Oh, I'd be." I was like, because I had like my homie Matt playing keyboard as the bass, and it was like fire. He was just playing like literal notes like on the synth. But I was like, Zen was like, "Do you need a bassist?" I was like, yeah, I guess I could get a bassist.
I'll play those same notes on bass guitar.
And make it look even more just cohesive.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's kind of
solid. Well, we all appreciate you guys being here. If it wasn't for all those little bits and pieces, we wouldn't have this Friday. So thank you guys for just randomly meeting up. Independently, do you guys have any like music you guys are working on outside of Koshin?
Nick, you want to take this one?
Yeah, I'll take this one. I am in a band entitled Nick Cruzier and the Disciples, which our lovely singer Katie, plays rhythm guitar in that band, which is lovely. I've been making music for a couple years. I originally made music in high school under the name of Chef, S-H-E-F-F.
Nice.
Never played a single show, but it was really fun, and I was like, I wanna keep going with this. It made more was like on my own time, which is why the band's named after myself. But obviously, I can't play everything that I do on Ableton in live. So
yeah,
that's how the Disciples. Being blessed with the Disciples, they help me out live, which is very fun. They're all amazing musicians. And yeah, I've released like 2 songs. I got 3 more that are on the way.
Nice.
And yeah, it's really fun. I have a show the week after Greenfest, which is funsies.
Solid.
And yeah.
I'm also in another band called Cherry Knot, which is an all-girl band here at State. And that's fun because, you know, like with Koshin, it's like I write all the songs and these boys help me bring that song vision to life. But with Cherry Knot, you know, it's actually like they'll write songs and then we'll all collectively make it to life. And sometimes like I'll be able to write my own music if, you know, I think it's not Koshin enough. If I think it's a little bit more silly or low key, whatever, I'll give them to Cherry Knot. But
yeah,
I mean, I always
pass them off to Cherry Knot.
I know. But yeah, so I always will write music on the side, and it's just kind of like up to whatever the vibes are. If I'm like, hey, wrote this song, sometimes it's like super not for live and band, so I won't even like be like, here, take this. But like sometimes I'll be like, you know what, I think this would be a cool Koshin song or a cool Cherry Knot song, and
yeah,
divvy it up.
Yeah, I respect it, honestly. So with this upcoming event being focused on sustainability, would you guys say you are all like environmentally like aware of what's going on?
Well,
like,
I'm actually an environmental science major, so perfect. It's like it's really cool for me to be performing specifically for Greenfest.
Yeah.
It's like it's awesome, right? Like it's exactly what I would like to be doing, is helping promote sustainability through whatever way I can, and the fact that I get to play music, which is one of my favorite things to do,
yeah,
and have that also affect the field of sustainability is just
nice.
Ideal. It's awesome.
That is ideal. Yeah.
One time, 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, Isaiah like was giving me this like talk about why I should like recycle.
I was like, maybe not as attentively
as I should have been, and then I was like, hold on,
never.
Like, you know, this is kind of facts. And I said I was going to record a video of when I like made my first trip to the recycle bin, and I actually took a video of it on my phone.
Yo.
I was
gonna send it to all right. Hey, I'll be waiting for that video.
I'll show you right now.
You're going to be waiting a long time.
No, I'm not waiting. I promise.
Zen's on it.
Bro, there's we're going to actually footage. Have half of our set be Isaiah like lecturing the people in the audience. Yeah.
Please. Hey, let's go.
The album's full, so we'll be on the empty one. See? I'm a man of my word.
He's a man of his word.
He recycles now.
Everybody
guys.
Knows. Thanks, Steph. He's a man of his word.
We just got to get you a hydro flask, brother.
He didn't actually show us a video. There's just a blank screen. Zen still does not recycle.
Damn.
This is untrue.
Is he? Would you say that, like, are you an environmental science major?
I'm a sustainability major, actually. And I have a minor in English with, like, an editing and publishing emphasis.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And that kind of like background you have, is that what led you to become the chair of Greenfest? Like, how
it
did
is.
That like start for you?
Yeah, I started college as an English major. That was kind of my 17-year-old, I don't know what I'm doing with my life decision, although it has been really good to have.
Yeah.
And great for soft skills. But yeah, I made the switch to sustainability because as an English major, I think what happened is I didn't have to take chemistry, so I took oceanography instead.
Smart.
And then I was like, wait, this is really interesting. And then I ended up taking one more kind of base level sustainability or environmental science class
yeah.
and found out I really liked it from there, and then made it my minor, and then proceeded to complete that minor really, really quickly.
Yeah.
Because it was only 15 units. I was done with it after a year or so.
Yeah.
And then got kind of sad because I was like, oh, I'm done with all my environmental science classes. That sucks. And
yeah.
then from there, I was like, well, if I'm saying that, I should probably make it my major. So Switched it to my major, and then from there I've just been doing internships, and then I found out about the chair position opening and applied to that because I've been to Greenfest events in the past and thought they were really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also been on a board in the past and been the president of it for a couple years, so I felt like that was familiar to me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then I got the position, and it's been really fun. It's been a great experience.
Where do you intend to take, like, your major? Like, where do you want to end up being, like, focused on sustainability?
Yeah, I'm graduating in May, and I want to go into the sustainability environmental science field after this.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be open-minded with the type of position since it's a very broad field and there's a lot you can do with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm looking at sustainability coordinator, sustainability specialist kinds of positions, and environmental planning is another avenue that I would do. So
awesome.
Pretty open-minded at the moment, but yeah.
Awesome. What about you, Isaiah, with your...
So, I mean, I'm actually just taking a course this semester that has really inspired me in the, like, food sustainability sector.
Yeah.
So it's called Cal 400. I honestly recommend this course to, like, anybody who's any... I think there's no prereqs for this course. I think you can take it as any, pretty much any major. And that might be wrong, but I think we have, like, some poli-sci majors. We have a decent spread. And it's just like, it's showing so many different directions you can go as far as like making an impact right here, right now in your community. I feel like a lot of the times we get bogged down in like conversations about sustainability and environmental science, about like the whole grand scope of things and how like kind of screwed we are in a lot of ways and how like, oh, it's all like the companies and there's nothing we can do about that because there's so much money. It's like, well, no, there's local initiatives, and a lot of them are really, like, honestly under-promoted right now. And so this class has been showing me some more of the local initiatives around here. Like, there's a mobile farmers market in the Lemon Grove area that is, it's run by this organization called Project New Village.
Yeah.
And they take the truck with all fresh, locally grown produce to different underserved neighborhoods that don't necessarily have as access to as good produce. And they set up the truck and you can go buy it. And if you fill out a survey, they'll give you a $10 credit, which is like that's like a decent amount for groceries. Like that could probably get you like 2 or 3 days worth of, you know, fruits and vegetables.
Yeah.
And like, if you just keep going, like that's awesome, right? That's like a really sustainable thing that also helps a lot of other sort of like,
just communities and
community areas, exactly. So that's just been really inspiring for me. I think I want to like look more into that.
Yeah,
kind of go the community and community promotion route with my environmental science.
Awesome, I respect it, man. Well, best of luck to you in both of you guys' fields. I think it's very relevant to this week and like everything that's going on in our world. I have to ask, like, continuing about Greenfest, what would you say is like the most difficult obstacle? This is like a general question in making everything happen. Whether it be scheduling, band performances, event this week, like, what would you say has been the most challenging thing?
Probably...
No, go ahead.
Probably, like, rehearsing and stuff has been...
Yeah.
Because we've been rehearsing for, like, Greenfest, like, what, like hardcore for, like, what, a month now? 2 months?
Something like that, yeah.
For, like, pretty much, like, since Battle of the Bands, we've been like really pushing it into high gear, like making content too, like really trying to promote the band, promote the show.
Well, because like when we won Greenfest, and you know, this is a very like awesome opportunity that we're so grateful for, because you know, we get to open for Denzel Curry on this amazing stage, and it's also just a plus that it's for like a really good
cause. You
know, yeah, really good cause. And so when we won, I was like a good like pat in the back of like, okay, we're doing something right, let's use this momentum and not stop it because we're about to do this performance. So yeah, like Nick said, we were making content, and then I was like, guys, this is the time, we need to release music because it's been a while.
Yeah.
And so, you know, news is we are dropping our first EP out of like the album that will come later on the Greenfest on that night. Yeah,
get hyped.
So not only are we practicing, but like for the first like month of like when school started, we were like, we need to finish this first and then we can go into practice mode. So it's just kind of like setting ourselves up for success.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because You don't know how Friday's gonna go, but at the very least, I want to say that I and we have done all that we can and can do to set ourselves up for success.
Okay. And Friday's gonna be lit.
Yeah.
We're gonna have fun no matter what. It's about the friends you make on the way.
I think I would say my obstacle would be just sorting out people's accounts on Ticketmaster.
Yeah, what are we at right now, Izzy?
Oh my goodness. Well, okay, so what happens is that people's individual accounts, it sometimes doesn't transfer over their account from a fall student to a spring student.
Wow.
So if it didn't make that transfer,
yeah,
sometimes the ticket link isn't working, or it'll just say like no event found or something. And then I'm having people going, Ticketmaster's broken, Ticketmaster's broken. And we've just had to make sure that we're communicating what email to reach out to fix people's accounts and transfer their accounts over to a spring account. So if you're listening and you're having issues, look on the Greenfest Instagram under the ticket info highlight, and there'll be an email that you can reach out to and just say, hey, I'm trying to get my Greenfest ticket. My Ticketmaster account isn't working. Can you fix this issue for me?
Yeah.
They'll get an automated response at first, but then they'll reach out to you individually. And once they've been doing that, it's been working for people. And some people are saying that trying the link on our Instagram has been working better than trying it on the email. So we've just been figuring out all the kinks of it and making sure that as many people as possible can get their ticket.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
People have been like, oh my God, it's like sold out. And I'm like,
no, it's not yet.
I'm trying so hard not to stress at all, because it's one of the very few things that's not at all in my control.
Yeah, no, it's not in any, like, we can just spread the word of the good Lord, but like.
Exactly, yeah. So what we can do and what we can control is reach out to people, tell them what to do if they're having trouble, which I said earlier, and that's all we can worry about. So we're trying our best to get that message across. We've been posting. We've been having AS posts, Aztec Student Union post. So yeah, and we've been telling people at events as well.
Okay, awesome. While this is a closing question, how has the background that each of you have had within music impacted how you guys like have interacted? Like whether that be in a positive or negative, I'm asking for both. Intrinsically, like Katie, I know you have like a more traditional music background, correct? Mm-hmm. And then like just basically like how have you guys like interacted as a unit based upon your individual like backgrounds?
It's a good question.
I feel like I'm gonna like speak because I feel like I can see it very objectively, but it goes to personality first and foremost too. Because, I mean, you guys can go in depth more into your personality, but here's how I saw it when we all kind of came together for the first time. You had Nick, who, you know, has been this great drummer for a long time, but he's, you know, marching band background.
Ooh,
so
you have to mention that.
I didn't even know that.
I'll take one too. Don't worry, dear. We'll get to me too.
Yeah.
Arlington High School. And San Diego State, actually.
Whoa. I didn't even know that.
So he has somewhat of a technical background, and he has this, like, he likes rock and all this, like, you know, just loud noise. And I think my favorite part is I'm like, Nick, you know, there noise can be, like, silence at some parts where, like, there's not drumming. But
just, like, stop playing for, like, God for a second, please. Yeah.
So there's that, which I'm like, you know, you could do maybe the kick drum, but, like, but, yeah, so that comes into play. And then Isaiah, you have, like, more of that rock, like, you know, you Alice in Chains kind of background.
80s metal stuff, yep.
Yeah, which I kind of like because I feel like, not to get too technical with music, but I think guitar soloists especially kind of have this, like, pentatonics, like, they do the same kind of, like, solo every time where it's just walking up this, like, the guitar scale, right? But I feel like with Isaiah and his background, he kind of actually adds more melodic lines into his solos, so it's like something that you could actually even repeat with your voice if you wanted to, which I really like and appreciate, which I think is really cool about his background. Zen?
Yeah. I mean, I could go a little more into my background as far as like why that is. I grew up in a very musical family, so pretty much all my family either plays an instrument or sings or both. And so I grew up a lot around just all different kinds of music.
And I actually didn't start on guitar. I started on the clarinet at third grade, Squidward style. So develop my sense of melody. And especially like for solos and stuff like that, because clarinet is like a one note at a time instrument, you kind of can't like, you can kind of shred on it, but it's not quite the same. So like coming up with melodies
shred
is just,
you know what I'm saying?
Like a guitar where you can kind of do the same pattern again and again and it sounds good. So that's kind of how I approach solos, or at least how I try to approach as many solos as I can, because I mean melody's the thing that gets people coming back, you know. Like you look you look at all the greatest solos that people remember in pop music, and most of them people can sing, so it's important to me that you can at least sing like a good part of my solo.
Sorry.
I was gonna go into a little background about mine. I mean, I've been playing in bands like throughout high school for a little bit here and there. I was in one for like 2 years in high school, and then I came here. I was looking for a band because, you know, just being on stage was like the most fun thing that like I could be doing, in my opinion. Just, you know, playing an instrument, jamming out, and even though I don't really have a traditional or classical, I mean, I took lessons with a guitar teacher for a couple of years in high school, who, you know, I probably credit with a lot of my playing ability and technique and stuff like that. But kind of just trying to go with my ear, going with what I think sounds good, and kind of what, you know, inspires certain feelings within me is kind of what I've gotten by on with my music career so far. And I know that because of that, you know, music's gonna be a part of my life for a while. So that's just my background.
Yeah. And just kidding.
I was gonna elaborate on like the marching band.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah, okay.
It is like it isn't exactly the thing I'd like to mention on like a first date or something like that, but it has helped me tremendously with like drumming and keeping time and everything like that. It's like it's probably like the greatest asset I think I've ever had in terms of music. Like you learn all the basics and you just get them drilled into you for years and years and years, and having to like, you know, move around while you're also playing them, like it makes like playing the drum set even like easier. Well, it's not really that easy, but like it makes it all like more cohesive, and you're just like this huge unit of drum. And it's really
absolute unit.
Absolute unit.
Like and yeah, that was cool. I also like jazz. Drums are really, really fun.
Like
I was
jazz.
A jazz fan. I do like jazz.
Very deep.
And definitely, I'd say like playing, like recently, like for my own band, as aforementioned, like I learned how to play bass and guitar. I won't say I know how to play them well, but definitely like learning those instruments has helped me like really kind of more understand how like someone who plays that instrument would think. Or the absence of thought for a bass player. So
true.
But yeah, if you want to get good at drums
from across the couch,
yeah,
that's my takeaway.
And I will say the best part about all of it is like I know like Nick, you sing in your band, and Isaiah, I know you like to sing too. But what's great is because I come like you know I took vocal lessons as a kid because I was doing. I have my own marching band. I did musical theater, and so I was trained in that way. So it's great because, you know, I sing these melodies, and no one really has notes for my voice, so I love that.
Yeah. It's nice that no one else really knows how to drum.
So you guys each fit into your, like, respective pockets. Like, it just meshes really well.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
Maybe you can repeat it just for the video.
Okay.
Is there a specific like artist or song that like got you passionate about music? Because I know you probably got into family stuff, I kind of the same way. But there's like what was the biggest influence for you wanting to go on stage and get in the band and everything like that?
Just for audio sake. Korn, Woodstock 99. Not kidding. And What are some legendary other shows I just maybe think?
Woodstock 99.
Anything Woodstock 99 was just like, yeah. I mean, I remember back we played a show in like February of last year or something like that, and it was like one of the most popping, like I guess, backyard shows we had. It just first time I really got an audience like moshing and going like crazy, kind of what I used to see like in these YouTube videos that I'd watch of these old concerts.
Which show was that?
Probably the Hannah Gellar Koshin one that we did.
Oh yeah, that was a banger.
Yeah, that one was like, I mean, there's still footage from that that we never even did, like that I still have to, I haven't even gotten yet, but like, it's, there's, that was the first time that like, it was just like, people like losing their minds, going ape shit at one of our shows, and I was like, yeah, this is like what it's all about for me. Like, this is awesome, and like just seeing those videos, so like, yeah, Korn, I'm trying to think of other artists, I'm sure I'll blurt it out when it comes to my mind, but someone else can take it.
Biggest musical inspiration.
You got some, or I can go next.
Great you question, go. John.
All right, for me, as far as getting on stage, again, I pretty much have been on stage since I picked up music. You know, I played in band too. Like, I was, and actually, funny enough, I would say something that definitely got me interested in like, sort of a more like a smaller ensemble. I did a little bit of jazz band when I was younger, and had a fun time doing the solos with that. And when it finally came time to pick up guitar, it was kind of weird that it's like weird to me that I didn't pick it up beforehand, but I picked it up my senior year of high school. And it was just like, I wrote a song and I had no way to accompany myself. And so I was like, well, I have to learn another instrument. I have to learn guitar. So I picked guitar, and then, I would say the first band that really inspired me to like get like pretty technically proficient was Van Halen.
Ooh, listening to Van Halen. Rest in peace, Eddie.
That was definitely like, okay, I want to be able to like, I'm still not at, I'm nowhere near Van Halen right now, but we'll get there one day.
That's a good answer.
I feel like I, you know, started with this like performing on stage literally when I was 8, just doing like musical theater as a kid, fun hobby. And then I don't know if y'all know this, but I was really passionate about musical theater, and I actually like went professional, was homeschooled for a bit because I was doing paid theater gigs performing, which was crazy. I quit because gay people are mean to me. I'm gay. I can say that, but like, as a 12-year-old man,
it's a pass, dude.
12-year-old Katie going through puberty and then having like, you know, very like sassy gay men around. Like, I would cry like every day after the performance. It was not good. So I quit. But
insane quote.
Make sure that's in the thumbnail. Gay people are mean to me.
I got my bread up, but so I've been performing for like more, and this is so privileged for me to say, I've performed way, way more times than I've seen performances.
Same here, actually.
Yeah. So I see live music now in my life, but I didn't really grow up going to shows. And in high school, I was my own self act. I was like doing my own music, doing the acoustic girl route. And then I started a band in high school, and then I'm here. And, you know, I don't really, like, seek inspiration from, like, performers, except, like, when I, you know, we have this inspiration for Koshin, Destroy Boys, which is, like, a band, and I saw them, a punk band, female-fronted, and I saw them live in L.A., and I was, like, absolutely blown away because of the positive energy and, you know, the like, just the energy, and same with Pierce the Veil. They're crazy live. They're for 40-year-old men, they are jumping up on stage, like throwing their guitars like across the stage. And I was like, you know, seeing that, obviously I'm a performer, again, perform way more times than I see it, but I was just like, it was a good re-up because, you know, I was like, yeah, you have to be captivating. It's like, be on the audience side to really understand like what is so thrilling to see. So that was recent too.
Did you work the Pierce the Veil Destroy Boy show, or no? I forgot.
No, I saw it.
Oh yeah, no, because they just came actually to Viejas, because they're both San Diego bands, and I actually met the, you know, they know this, I met the lead singer of Destroy Boys backstage, and I was like pushing some of the equipment back to the truck, and I just said it up to her, say, yo, like, I'm in a band, we really love you guys, we do some of your stuff, and she thought it was really cool. So like, yeah, hey. And we got to see like Pierce the Veil as they were coming off, and they were just going crazy on stage, and it definitely was like added inspiration. So that was sick.
Zen was so sweet. He gave me a pick from Destroy Boys that I have not used, but I'm going to use on Friday as well. Good luck, momentum.
There you go.
Thank you.
That's really sweet. That's awesome.
I think for me, I mean, like my family is like not musical at all. At least my parents aren't, like, not a musical bone in their body. Love them to death, but music's just not their thing. And they know that too. But my brother and my sister are crazy into music. They both have a degree in music. Both did DCI, which is like basically professional marching band. You know, like they toured around the country doing that. My sister still like plays in orchestras. My brother plays in the Arapaho Symphony in Denver. Like both very, very successful music people. They can both talk your ear off about music theory and stuff like that. So, but growing up, I really didn't like listen to music, and I still kind of don't, which is strange. But I'd say like the thing that really got me into drums was Sing 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 by Benny Goodman. It's got just this, it starts off with like, this cool drum intro. It's just like, and like, that's sort of what I use as like inspiration when I'm playing Just a Girl by Koshin. Because it has a similar drum intro. It's like a different rhythm and beat and tempo.
Please don't sue us.
What? I can't say that?
Nice to know, like, if the person, whoever Benny has Goodman. The rights to the Benny Goodman songs.
Well, it's probably copyright expired. It's probably been 50 years. It's not a song.
Benny Goodman is
the
from,
estates.
Like,
the estates are going crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Nick Hooser loves Benny Goodman. But yeah, like, stuff like that, I really, really liked. And then when I started getting into rock, it took a while. Because, like I know, like, Isaiah and Zen, like, you guys have been watching rock bands for, like ever. My very first rock show was in my, like, my freshman year of college. Like, I just never saw one growing up in Poughkeepsie, New York.
What show was it?
It was admittedly a pretty damn good show. It was Hella Mega Tour. So it was Weezer and Fall Out Boy and
Green
Day.
Yeah.
We had nosebleed tickets, but it was a banger of a show.
New York.
And I was like, okay, like, this is pretty cool. But I think what really started to get me into them, I'm not sure when I started listening to them, but The Hives. It's like a Swedish rock group. They're not terribly well known, although they just dropped, I think, one of the best albums I've heard in a very, very long time. Their main singer, his name's like Howlin' Hell something. It's really hard to pronounce. But just like the type of stuff they do on stage is just so cool. They're just so like egotistical and like
I see where it comes from now.
No, but it's like cool and it's like charming and it's like so, and it's just like the lead singer just has like this like control over the audience. Like he can just like be the most like outrageous, like delusional guy in the world and everyone's like, yeah, I love this band. Like it's so cool.
Yeah.
Not saying I'm delusional and narcissistic, of course, but I think it's like that was like, okay, like doing stuff like this is really, really cool.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I didn't start playing in rock bands until my freshman year of college, which is weird. But
Same here.
So moral of the story, we are them. Actually.
Yeah. Are. Izzy, any like favorite artists or any sort of, yeah, just same question but for you.
Favorite artist?
Yeah, favorite Denzel artist.
I have actually been listening to a lot of Denzel Curry recently, just so that I
pregame. Like, yeah,
I know my lyrics. Yeah,
the reward.
I listen to a lot of hip hop, variety of artists. I would say,
yeah,
like, I don't know, Kendrick Lamar, 21 Savage, Travis, like a lot, honestly. But
yeah,
recently Denzel Curry, but like this year, there's. I feel like there's so many names, though, that it's hard to name too many on the spot. But I like rock as well, like 80s, 70s, even a bit of 90s rock.
Do you have, like, a favorite concert you've been to, like any genre?
That's hard. The most recent concert I went to was Suicide Boys.
Oh,
it was Grey Day.
So fun. I've seen Grey Day in 2018, and Denzel was opening. That was the first time I saw him.
Wow.
And that was one of the most memorable shows because there were so many other also performers.
That must be such a full circle moment that you've seen.
No, for real.
Yeah, because we, in that Grey Day, it wasn't this past one, it was the one before that.
Mm-hmm.
There was also Snot and Ski Mask was there too.
Oh, that's so
it was
awesome.
The best lineup, and they all just brought so much hype, so much energy.
Wait, where was this?
It was in, oh God, I don't even remember the name of the amphitheater, but it's like 30 minutes.
Oh, Chula.
The Chula Vista one.
Yeah.
Oh, the Chula. Yeah, that's
a yeah, it was there. And yeah, it was so fun because we were there for Suicide Boys, but then we were like, oh, Ski Mask and Snot too are going to be there, and there were two or three others even before that. So
like
it was a really cool concert. We were there for a long time. It was so worth it. Yeah.
If you had an ideal artist to see, just off top of head, who would you guys want? Want to go and see.
Like living or dead, or just living now, like any criteria?
Yeah, like living or dead. Yeah, it's we'll hard. Start. Anybody can jump on this one. Yeah.
I'll do One Living, One Dead, maybe.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I don't think Dead, probably, like, Hendrix or something. I don't even know. Nice. There's so many, like, Jerry Garcia. There's so many people that you could choose. Even, like, more, like, modern people, too. Like, I was supposed to see, like, Lil Peep, because, like, when he went to my high school and stuff, and, like, literally, like, a month or two before he died, I was supposed to see him on, like, Halloween.
Yeah.
And, like, we're like, oh, I'll almost catch him next time he's around. And then, like, you know, he died, like, soon after, and it was just, like, tragic. Wow. So, you know, Peep's up there. Thankfully, I saw Juice WRLD, like, Rolling Loud in New York. That was sick. But any artist that just brings the energy for me, mm-hmm. like, you know, just makes the show, like, an unforgettable experience. Yeah. Like, I don't even know. Like, I've seen, like, this band Turnstile, but they're getting pretty big now, like, probably, like, 5 or 6 times. Like, I'll always, like, see them again. I'll never pass up an opportunity to see them. So, yeah. Anything that brings the energy, really.
Okay. Anybody else?
I'll also do One Living, One Dead. I'll do probably The Hives for me. Like they come to San Diego. Same thing with The Strokes, actually. I love The Strokes. Everyone loves The Strokes. But whenever, like, somehow, whatever gods make their tour schedules, the Live Nation gods, they always put the SoCal shows when it's like the summertime and I'm back in New York, and they always put the New York shows in any other time of the year when I'm back in San Diego. So I'm always across the country whenever they're doing a show, which is frustrating.
Yeah.
And as for One Dead,
that's a hard question, bro. Like,
Jimmy Dorsey and Al Bolley, they're both big band swing guys, and like Tchaikovsky, I guess, if I want to sound posh.
I mean, you want to see like Tchaikovsky himself?
Yeah, I feel like he'd be cool.
I've heard yeah, some live Tchaikovsky, but out of living musicians today, of course. For me,
performing his own pieces.
Yeah, no. That's why I was like, you want to see like him?
He's piano.
Yeah.
Okay. Bro, I want to see Beethoven, bro. Let's.
you're saying if Beethoven came again.
For me, I'm gonna for Dead. I think. I mean, some of the members are still alive, but I'm gonna have to go with Lane. Van Halen again. Mm. Just
they're gonna say Lane.
I mean, yeah, that'd be crazy too.
I would low-key change my answer. Staley. I think I would change my answer to like Van Halen, either Van Halen or maybe Nirvana.
Nirvana would be cool too, but it's definitely I gotta stick with my guys in Van Halen. Yeah. And like David Lee Roth with like an actual voice because he doesn't have one anymore. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So like that's for sure. Like and then Alive, it's like between two. And Zen already mentioned one, Turnstile. This dude kind of got me into Turnstile now, and let's I'm go. Like, I really want to go see a show. and then the other one is U2.
Oh yeah, wait, I dragged Nick to a Turnstile show. U2 the Sphere?
U2, yeah. And, I know they just did the thing in the Sphere, and I didn't go to that, but that looked insane, and I'd like to see
in the Vegas Sphere?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That looked so cool. Yeah. Weren't they the first ones to perform in it?
Yeah, that's sick.
So,
that was crazy.
Yeah, I'm a big U2 fan.
I was actually supposed to see Juice WRLD, R.I.P. Another dead one that I would have loved to see was Mac Miller,
because
I listened to him for a while, like before he passed, so that would have been really, really cool. I would also just have killed to see, like, again, like 80s rock bands, like, or I would have loved to see like Zeppelin, for example.
Zeppelin. Yeah, I was gonna say
or in terms of like modern artists, I've heard Tyler the Creator is a really good performer.
Oh, I've seen him. That would be I was gonna fun. Say I didn't see him again. Yeah.
When did you see him? Was it Rolling Loud or
no? It was for his Flower Boy album, but he did a lot of the old like old stuff. Like I love the song "Fucking Young," my favorite song.
Yeah, I've heard he's a really good performer. So hopefully one day I'll get to see Tyler. I feel like J. Cole would be really cool too. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say for my living or dead, Michael Jackson.
Oh,
Everyone just changed their answer.
Yeah, Michael Jackson is top of my list for sure. Bob Marley, like those are like the greatest in their respective fields.
100%.
I've seen Kendrick. I'd probably want to see him again. And then, I saw Chris Stapleton on my birthday, and I would definitely see him again. He's actually a great performer. Like he sounds exactly.
Oh, he's got a killer voice.
Yeah, his voice is insane. I like all your guys' answers. Juice WRLD, that's a tragic one.
I was so sad.
Yeah.
When I saw him, I didn't realize how like important it was at the time, because it was just like it was the first time Rolling Loud went to New York, and I was still in high school, and I was like, "Yo, this is lit!" Like, "Yo, he's right there." And then like He died maybe like a year after or something like that. And like, I wasn't even like that big of a fan. Just like now looking back, I was like, damn, I'm like lucky to have seen that, you know.
Yeah.
It was, you know, really important.
Yeah.
Also Skrillex.
Whoa.
I've seen Skrillex.
So. Oh my god.
I forgot about Skrillex.
That was so cool.
Are you guys into EDM?
No.
I can get behind a little. Yeah, I can get behind some. Yeah.
Unless I'm drunk on a boat, you know.
If it's like really it's hard and aggressive techno, like if I can like bang my head to it, and like
dude, it's
people
giving
are scared,
like sunny beach day drink. That's what I think.
That's like
I've dabbled in raves a little bit.
Yeah, like that harder stuff I really like because it's kind of shares some of that like intense energy.
Or like for gym playlists, I will say Heart Style is really good for going to
the
gym.
No, what boat people are listening to EDM? It's just
the house.
Hot girls in bikinis?
House gets a little old sometimes for me.
He's like, yeah, I'm not on any of those boats.
It's just but I saw Millennium in Vegas, and that was really, really fun. We saw him at Opium, which is the club in Caesar's Palace.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That was sick. He was really good.
Disco Lines is coming somewhere close to San Diego State.
Oh, really?
And there's having, similar to how, like, we're having, like, opening for Denzel, they have a couple of student DJs opening for him. He's kind of doing, like, a college tour.
Really?
Yeah, like, one of the guys who played Shepherd, who's from D-Sig, when he played at House of Blues shows, he's one of the DJs opening.
Oh, really?
So it's pretty cool.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
This month is going to be crazy, because there's Denzel Curry, and then later in the month, I'm going to Beyond Wonderland, so.
Oh, that's wow.
It's, this month is full of music.
Yeah.
Music month. Music March.
Music March. I like that. This is just kind of like some fun questions route. I feel like we got the more deeper kind of introspective ones. If you woke up after being put in like cryogenic sleep, after 100 years, what would your first like act be? Or like, what would your first question be?
Am I like living in Fallout right now? I think of like Fallout 4 type shit. Like, am I like, did the bombs drop? Or like, is there going to be like a cat that mutated into like a lion outside that's gonna kill me? Like, how do I survive? Like, what's the state of society right now? What's the state of society?
I would probably just ask what year it was.
The video games prepared me for this, I guess. I don't know. Yeah.
They took my child. Where's my kid?
Respect for knowing that.
See if the McRib came back.
That's the McRib. John, you like that question?
He's like, yes.
I'll wait till the day I die for the McRib.
Yeah.
Walk to the ends of the earth for the McRib.
Probably, I don't know. I like to see, I guess this is on music. I'm curious to see like what kind of
music.
I feel like it'd just be like noisecore or some
like Apex Twin. No, it's like all AI. Like, real people still
noises.
Make music like now?
Oh, you know? Wow.
Because, it's like 100 years ago, you know, it's like. Like that was like 1920s. That's like all like big band swing.
Yeah. Well, Jim Morrison predicted like
ragtime.
Jim Morrison predicted like EDM and DAWs. How he said like in the 60s that in the future music's gonna be about like one person on a computer and like any type of genre pretty much.
Well, that's because the technology was pretty much like getting there from like analog to digital. That's when like MIDI was. I think MIDI was invented in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any guilty pleasures? Like whether it be TVs, movies,
Survivor.
Wow.
Survivor
shout
is my
out Mike Shores.
I've seen so nearly good. Every season of Survivor.
Me and my girlfriend just finished season 42.
That's a whole separate podcast right there talking about Survivor.
Oh,
shout out Mike Short.
I was literally thinking that before she said it.
Dude, we work with a guy who used to be like a camera guy for Survivor.
No way.
Yeah.
I know who you're talking about.
Me, Katie, and Jesse, we all work together at the VA House Arena setting up for like the concerts that come through. It's a pretty lit gig, making some cool memories while getting paid.
Did you get called for Greenfest?
No. I just saw Kevin yesterday while I was at. I work at.
Did you press him?
Nah, he was like, he left before I could talk to him. I had to like go deal with like, I'm not working Greenfest, bro. I'm not gonna lie.
Enjoy it.
Huh? Exactly. I want to enjoy it. It's like I don't want to go and then like have to go be like in the morning and then come back.
No, I would want to like load in my own amp and get paid for it.
That'd be cool. They didn't call you?
No, they didn't. But
they didn't call me either.
That'd be cool, though.
Yeah.
Ain't no one helping us, though.
It's just going to be me and my 5'1 ass just like, please.
Guilty pleasure.
Guilty pleasure.
I have one that I don't watch it anymore, but I remember there was one summer where I watched like every single season of like Ink Master I could possibly get my hands on.
Where's your tattoo?
I don't have tattoos, but that show had like a lock on me. I was like, I was feasting. I was like, oh, these tattoos are so cool. Like, yeah. I was honestly just like super like entranced by the artistry, and then like also like the idea that like if you fuck up, it's like fucked up for like a good amount of time, and then like, yeah, you know how like sometimes you have people come back, it's with like funny beef, like my tattoo sucks. Yeah. Like, I was like, damn, how are they gonna fix this one? Like, wait, you know what I'm saying?
I'm apparently gonna get it out of this
position. Yeah.
Oh, the headphone just back there with the headphone.
Out. Audio's out.
But yeah, that I haven't watched in a long time. But yeah, that was definitely a guilty pleasure. The amount of Ink Master I watched was pretty crazy.
I actually have a question for all of you guys.
Wait. Is this on or is sound still going through the headphones or no?
Yeah, I can't hear anything in the headphones.
Well, it's just the.
Oh, there we go. All
right, hello, testing.
Yeah, I'm hearing it.
We're good.
Okay,
this is the here. I'm
pretty. Wait, I got one.
What you got?
Pleasure. What is it?
I'm not sure if you guys know this, but back in high school, for whatever reason, I would eat like entire loaves of white bread.
That's all. What is wrong with you?
Are you serious? Untoasted, nothing on it, straight out the bag.
No butter.
Just, like,
even?
It really shines. Bro, were you like at least like rolling it up or like doing something?
You
just
would
like
say
slices, bro.
Just like the most basic possible like Wonder Bread type stuff. It is like heavenly. Something
to
about
this
it
day
has. So I've slowed down.
It still has a hold on me.
Oh my god!
Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night just, where's my white bread?
Bro, what is bro?
I've had my moments.
Yeah. No one wants to admit they've eaten a whole loaf of white bread.
Yeah, I don't want to admit this, but Isaiah did put me onto spooning jars of peanut butter recently too. He put me onto recycling and that.
Dang.
Those like warheads, I eat entire bags of those.
Bro.
What?
He's
a masochist. What is wrong with
him? He like gave up like candy for cool Lent, and he's like,
candy,
bro,
and
like
soda.
He's like, bro, like I'm really struggling and suffering. I'm like, boy, you are 21. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's tough because like usually like, you know, like if I'm like walking through the union, I'm just like, oh, I'll go get some Mike and Ike's or something like that. And now I can't because it's Lent. And I'm just like, oh, gotta go eat my white bread now. Gotta go eat my white bread and water.
Fasting on white bread?
Yeah, remember? And recently, like, honestly, because, like, I've just been so busy with school and, like, I haven't had a whole lot of time to go out to the store, and I just see loaves of white bread sitting in my fridge. I'm just like,
Oh, that's actually, that brings up a whole
I mustn't.
You know? That brings up a whole other thing. Are y'all bread in the fridge or out the fridge
type
people?
In the fridge.
I don't eat bread like that. I gotta buy my bread up.
Yeah, I don't eat bread.
No, my family's never been an in the fridge, so I don't. But
yes,
I wouldn't put mine
in the
fridge.
But
I'm not hating. I'm not trying to hate. I just
in the fridge.
I'm gonna hate. That's weird. What?
Yeah.
They don't even put it in the fridge
in
the store.
In the fridge? What?
They don't even have it in the store, like in the refrigeration.
They don't know what
you're
talking about.
No, exactly.
I know other people.
A lot of stuff's
refrigerated
after opening. I don't think bread's refrigerated after opening.
So then why is it weird?
It's not refrigerated after opening, I'm saying. Like when you get a bread, it doesn't say refrigerate after opening, does it?
No.
Yeah, so
I think it's just for funsies.
Yeah, college is great because you get to learn what everybody's parents put in the fridge.
Yeah. Are you guys putting fruits in the fridge?
Fruit?
No.
Yeah. I do.
It depends on the fruit in the fridge.
Like orange, yeah. I wouldn't because the skin protects it.
Okay, actually, not going to lie.
Orange in
I
the
didn't
fridges
ever put oranges in the fridge until like this year.
Yeah.
And then I started
game
doing
changer
that.
Game changer.
And it looked. It like,
it,
they
fruit
taste
should definitely
like,
go.
It's so refreshing when
exactly
you take that.
I like
yeah
it. Take it
okay
out. It's
yeah
like, you're like, oh, like,
I think.
Yeah, I was like, wait.
Like, I'm a big green apple guy. That's another guilty pleasure, I guess.
Granny Smith's?
Yeah, Granny Smith's. Oh, all the way. Like, any other apple is.
I like Golden Delicious.
Honeycrisp.
Honeycrisp.
Oh,
Honeycrisp.
Yeah.
Honeycrisp is the way.
But, like, I do think, like, green apples are really nice when they're out of the fridge. Like, they got the nice, refreshing, like, sort of
ASMR
thing.
Of kosher.
True. I feel like anything that has, like, a good amount of, like, sour flavor to
yeah
it, you
yeah
know what I'm saying? Like, that's why the oranges
yeah
and the green
although
apples,
I do
like,
I do think, like,
the fridge just
having
makes it better.
Having it out on the table does make the flavor a little bit more potent.
Mm.
I don't know if it necessarily makes the eating experience that much better.
Mm.
Also, I feel like it probably goes bad quicker.
Can I ask a question then?
Yeah.
When we learned from our parents in college, do you clean your air fryer every time you use it?
I don't air fry.
Every time?
Every time.
I put tinfoil down though, so like it stays
yeah
kind of clean.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Sometimes.
I did when I first got an air fryer, and then I was like, wait, this is such a pain in the ass to clean every single time.
No,
I
especially if I just
it's
like
convenient.
Right. Yeah. If like if I didn't like make anything that like had like if a it has like goop or like cheese, like,
then yeah, then you're
gonna goop. Like no sauce. Like when like, Paltrow's goop.
Like, there's sauce, you know.
It's just like a glob of stuff.
Yeah, I'm cleaning out the gloves, but like there's dry like things, dry things like some chicken nuggets or something. Like if it didn't leave like a ton of crumbs in there, I'm not gonna clean it up.
Yeah, facts.
Do you? I don't drink coffee. Who here drinks coffee?
I just bought a coffee maker.
I love coffee.
Do you, if you have a mug,
makes me irritated,
and all you drink out of it is coffee, are you washing the mug?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Actually, that is a good question because I will rinse it, but I won't go like scoop, 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 scoop. I'm gonna use it again. I'm just gonna rinse and then move.
I feel like it's like a. It's like a cast iron thing.
Yeah, oh,
like
the flavor like, seeps in.
Oh,
wow.
You know?
Interesting.
That's, yeah, no, I'm too OCD
I'm
for
washing
that.
My mugs.
I'm too OCD.
Every time.
My mugs every time.
About dishes? Yeah, that's why I keep all my dishes in my like, bedroom.
I drink water
under your bed?
No, no, no. I just like, I just do them. I just do them and put them in my cabinet like inside my room somewhere just so like, I don't know.
I mean, I always wash my mug because I like sometimes just drink pure water out of a mug. So like,
bro,
oh,
I don't
I've
want my pure water to taste like
when you wake up in the morning. It's like
ceramic plates.
Well, he's not again.
Oh. Yeah. Izzy, did you have any guilty pleasures? Like, was it Survivor?
I'll agree with Survivor.
Survivor. Yeah.
A song?
What's your favorite season?
Oh God, there's so many. David versus Goliath is good. Blood versus water seasons are good. Micronesia, fans versus favorites.
Oh, I haven't watched that either.
It's an old one.
That's with poverty, right?
Yeah, that one's really good. Heroes versus villains.
Yeah, that's like the OG. I think that's the first one I watched.
Oh, yeah.
I've got to get on the Survivor grind.
Low key.
Like,
it's so addicting.
Guys, catch
like
me on Survivor.
Or two,
once
like
I start a season, I'm done with it in like 2 or 3 days.
No, it's bad.
Once I start it and like learn the characters, then I have to remember where everyone is, and I finish it in like 3 days.
You guys know what the premise is, right?
Generally challenges for money.
It's like a reality show.
You like are stranded on an island and you like have no food, basically no water, like you just starve, and then you do challenges to like, you know, get rewards like food or to stay in the game to not be voted out by the other people on the island, and then whoever's like last person standing gets $1 million.
So it's like Total Drama.
Yep, that's basically
it's basically the live action Total Drama Island. But it's a good show because the winner always deserves to win. Like you don't win on accident because it's a very hard thing to do to get to that.
So you never feel like, oh, somebody got robbed.
Sometimes you might, but sometimes they vote people out because that person's gonna win, and you're like, I don't want you to get $1 million, and you will if you make it to the end. So everyone votes them out
because the people who are voted out.
You gotta play dumb. You gotta be like
crazy hating.
Yeah,
because
like
rocks.
When it gets to top three, the people who were voted out are the jury, so they decide based on the top three people. Okay, who are we choosing to win $1 million?
So you can't if you burn bridges in a way with people that you were close to, they might not turn around and vote for you at the end to win $1 million. So you're voting people out, but you have to vote them out in a way that they'll still want to give you money when you cheated them out of $1 million.
Speaking of social experiments, have you guys heard of MILF Manor?
Oh my God, bro.
Not to raise the rating of this to PG-13, but oh my goodness, that show is wacky.
Have you heard of Couples to Thruples? My girlfriend just showed me that. I'm like, this is garbage.
Another guilty pleasure is Love Island UK.
My dad watches that. I'm like, what is wrong with you?
My dad watches.
Clipping like crazy.
My dad watches Love Island UK.
Oh, look at the peaks. It's peaking.
True.
Damn.
Nick M.R. Guilty pleasure songs.
Big Boss. I love M.R.
You know M.R. Jesse?
No.
He's like a Jamaican dance hall artist.
Yeah.
But he's from like the UK, right? And he gets a lot of the Big Bumble Clock guy.
Oh.
So basically, people are calling him like illegitimate because, you know, like, he's a white guy from the UK who kind of has like a heavy like Jamaican kind of accent. I don't know if it's like actual natural or like, you know, not.
Yeah.
But like, you know, the Jamaicans are like, nah, this guy is valid.
He's valid.
Yeah, like he like knows the culture. He like comes to Jamaica all the time. They love him there. And like he's dropping some bangers and he's like popping off on social media. You probably,
what's the name?
Never heard M. of M.R. Now you've definitely heard his one song.
I've seen him on Instagram just based off of like
that
how
one
he described
clip.
Him.
I know,
yeah,
but I don't know of him.
He was in that.
I can't repeat the
part. I definitely didn't know
of
him.
I've seen
him. What's your guilty pleasure, Jay Aoki?
Oh, hell. Guilty pleasure. I would say, I mean, chocolate is like I have like a box of chocolate that I just keep in my room. like Hershey's Kiss, things like that. It sounds so basic, but yeah, one of those, but not like all the time. Binging like anime shows.
Ooh, okay.
I like finished Attack on Titan in like one sitting. Like Oof. It was.
You watched One Piece? Whoa.
Like a 24 yeah. hours?
Like, yeah. Whoa. It was like
that's
one of those.
Well, it's like what, 3 seasons, 4 seasons?
Yeah.
You watched One Piece?
No.
How many hours was that?
Yo, you can't even like, one.
No, that was. Harry Potter, I did that one too. Just like binging a lot of films and shows is like probably my biggest. I stopped doing that though. I don't even watch shows now, but yeah. Back in the day, that would definitely be my guilty pleasure. Yeah, it definitely took like majority of my day, like just nonstop. Summertime kind of activity, you know?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Last kind of like fun question before we skedaddle out of here. If you didn't have to sleep, how would you fill your time?
Oh, ooh. I don't know. Right now, I've been really trying to like hone a certain set of skills that could like let me do the things I like more, whether that's in terms of like stuff that's music related, where it's like, you know, learning how to maybe like do like little like producing for like some of my friends who are trying to record stuff, or whether I'm trying to like help film a video for somebody, like stuff that I ultimately would think would be really cool to do like as a full-time profession.
Mm-hmm.
Like kind of maybe just like double down on like honing those skills, and so I could tie that into stuff I enjoy. Kind of maybe a basic answer, but
no, I like that.
I definitely like write more music and songs because I have like legitimately no time right now with just practices, school, work, club activities, girlfriends. So if I just had like 8 hours, I know in that time I could like write more music and be creative, even for fun, not for like any commercial purposes.
Yeah.
Same. Actually, my answer is pretty much the same because I find that I do a lot of good work late at night. Like I often come up with like an idea because I also do write music, and like I also feel like I don't have a lot of time to put into my own music right now, but like. Yeah, I don't know, that late night vibe, like
it just goes.
It's just you sort of freeze your mind from like, because everybody else is asleep, you know, so you have no like distractions or like having to worry about that, like somebody might be like, oh, I need you to do this, I need you to do that. So you kind of can just focus purely on the creative aspect, and that's what I would do. I write more music.
I like that.
I'm probably I'm not unique. I want to write more music. I'm also a film major. I like writing scripts. Are really, really fun. Just like writing stories in general. It's something I really enjoy doing, but it's always so hard to carve the time out.
Facts.
It's not an excuse, but I will get better at it. Doing that. I'd love to drum more, even though I probably couldn't if everyone else is still asleep. then they would subsequently not be asleep. And work out more.
I don't have musical talent, so I would not probably, although I probably could develop some if I wasn't sleeping, but I don't know, like one possibility was I could take like a night job and then retire in like half the time and be like 15.
Okay. That was she was thinking.
I had time, you know?
Yeah.
either that or on a more short-term scale, I would just get everything done in like twice the time and then travel. Go new places. You would just have so much more time on your hands. So I would just get everything done in like a much shorter, condensed period of time, and then just like, I'll just like be in Europe every week or something.
Low key, if you didn't have to sleep that whole time, like you might see a lot of crazy stuff. You know, because stuff that goes on at night while you're sleeping, like
just goes past
the street.
And I won't get jet lag because I don't sleep. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good point too.
That is good.
She thought.
Yeah. Well,
it's gonna. Can I ask one more question?
Of course.
Sorry, I don't want to keep you guys too long.
No.
Because you said your family's very musical, right?
Yeah.
How? This makes sense for all of you. If you guys want to answer this question, how has your like family relationships affected you playing music? Because with me personally, my dad's a musician, and it kind of burned me out because it was too much of a role model, right?
Yeah.
It's too easy to compare. So like. Whether your family was musical or wasn't, how has that kind of shaped your route to like being in bands and stuff like that?
Interesting. Yeah, I'll answer that first, actually.
Question stealing.
Sorry, I just like to hear myself talk a lot. So my mom like kind of forced me into like classical piano lessons when I was six. Kind of just like my mom was very much the like, I'm gonna throw you in every activity possible because she's like you gotta be a go-getter, gotta try things. So I did classical piano, hated it, dropped out, didn't learn, nothing stuck.
And then tried guitar maybe for a year. Again, didn't like it, whatever. You know, it's very much like my mom forced me to do it, couldn't get a hold of it. And she did, she sings in her church choir and she knows how to play piano. My grandfather was actually, you know, in the olden days, strip clubs, they didn't have aux, so he was actually a pianist for strip clubs.
That's pretty
cool.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, no, literally.
Super burlesque show.
No, literally. My grandpa's a G, wow, rest in peace. Oh. Yeah. But, so... So I did feel kind of forced, but, you know...
That's crazy.
Yo.
Yeah, so I did kind of feel forced to do it. But then, crazy enough, so when I was, like, in middle school, not to get too deep, but I kind of had, like, body issues. And I was, like, every day after middle school, I was, like, I'm going to work out. Wouldn't want to work out. I'm fucking, like, 11 years old. I'm not going to do that. So
the grind starts.
Yeah. And so, but I would do it while I was watching TV. And as a procrastinator, you know, we had a piano in my house. And I was, like, I'm just going to, like, I'm going to play the piano. And so to avoid doing my ab workouts, I would, like, because I kind of knew how to read sheet music from the, like, 6 years of piano lessons that I wasn't paying attention to. And then I just kind of got into it where I learned how to play again, learned how to write. And then my mom gave me a ukulele as a birthday present 1 year. And then I just kept writing and writing. And I kind of just went full throttle with it, but it was on my own accord. And that's what pushed me, because I couldn't do it if I was being forced. But if I, like, stumbled upon it by myself, then... All is on. And thankfully my mom, you know, also the G she is, she's an accountant, and, you know, she's like, Katie, the one thing I could, like, say to you about your career and your life is, like, just do whatever you want to do, just don't be an accountant. So I had her full blessing to do music, even though that's not really my goal right now in life. I mean, music is my goal, but not performing per se. I think I just want to be in this industry no matter what is offered and make a real substantial impact on the world. Whether that be in music or honestly any endeavor, but that's kind of my start.
That was a good, really good answer. I got to piggyback off it too, kind of with, like, the discovering it on your own accord. Like, neither of my parents had any musical background, you know. Like, my dad definitely, like, you know, is a big music fan, has been to a lot of concerts. My mom was more so, like, a teenager, young adult in the 90s, so that's where her music taste is. But, you know, I was kind of discovering all that older rock music in high school and was like, yo, this is what I love listening to. How cool would it be if I could just play it myself? And, like, I remember right after I saw, like, The Who in, like, Connecticut, I bought a guitar, like, the next day, my first one. And, like, that kind of, you know, set me on my path. And I think, you know, yeah, just kind of, like, it being something that I fully discovered on my own and was, like, kind of, like, a passion project for myself, that's kind of, like, pulled me along and, like, led me to, like, you know, where I am now. Because I do agree that if it was something that would probably have been forced on me, I probably wouldn't have, you know, taken the same liking or appreciation that I have to it. And also, it was really cool. Like, my dad set up one of the shows in high school that he went to. He saw me playing, so it inspired him to learn guitar. So he bought, like, this $2,000 Martin acoustic guitar. Really good one. And, like, it was right when I started going to college. He's, like, sending me some videos of him playing Smoke on the Water here and there, right? Wow. And then, like, a month later, I'm like, hey, how's the guitar going? And he's like, yeah, I'm just too busy. I don't have time. And I'm like, no, like, there was so much potential. But,
yeah.
Yeah. Smoke in the Water is the first song I learned on piano. That's crazy.
On piano? That's funny. That's
like six notes total. Bum, yeah.
Usually it's like chopsticks, you know?
I'd say for me, like, again, like, with... I mean, yeah, my parents don't know much about music, but, like, they both listen to it a lot, especially my dad. He got me into bands like the Violent Femmes like the B-52s. Just great, awesome bands. I've seen both of them with him. It's a real big B-52 fan joke. Anyway, but yeah, like, he really likes it. And same with, like, movies and stuff. Like, obviously he was never in, like, the film industry or whatever, but he's always been, he, like, knows so much about movies, like, so much more than I do, and, like, I'm trying to be in the industry, so it's, like, it's very cool. He's a very smart person about that. But yeah, they're both very, like, they've had to go to, like, our marching band shows, like, me and my siblings for 10 years or like 15 years, something like that. It was, like, a long time. They had to go to, like, you know, like, the state finals every October and stuff like that. They've always been, like, super supportive. So thanks, Mom and Dad. Love you both.
Yeah, for me, it's interesting. So, like, yeah, my parents never, like, forced any music on me. They kind of just did it, and it kind of fell into my lap, sort of. Like, at least with the clarinet, like, that was just through the school. They were like,
here's instruments you can play. And like, that was the one I could make a sound out of, like all the other trumpet, none of that. I was like, I can't even make a noise on this. So I just picked the clarinet because of that. It's like easy to make a sound. And then just sort of like on my own accord, ended up like getting pretty good at it. And they definitely like encouraged me to practice and stuff like that. But I think I was the one who like asked for lessons, stuff like that. And I got pretty good at it. And then by the time I was in high school, I was a little burnt out on like practicing that instrument so much. I kept doing band through high school, but I pretty much like was just playing the songs that we were playing. I wasn't like trying to, you know, further my technique. And then, yeah, like I said, my senior year, I just had the summer before that, I just had an inspiration to write a song. And it was really interesting because after having that inspiration, writing the song and like deciding I wanted to pick up guitar, I found out that like I knew my mom is a singer. She's also an actress, so I'm also doing acting now. And I was never put into acting either. That was also all on my own accord. But I found out that she used to be in a band and that they were like writing originals at one time too. Yeah. And like, so just, it's been really interesting for me discovering music and now acting has helped me learn a lot more about my parents as well. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I knew my mom was an actress, but she didn't tell me a lot about it, and really until I started acting myself, and I was like, "Well, what did you do? Like, I want, like, you know, I don't know that much about your career."
Yeah.
Because she stopped before I was born, like pretty much, like a few years before. And so, yeah, that's just been really cool to kind of go on that journey with them, and with myself, and just sort of discovering my own passion with that. And. And then like being able to sort of learn more about them, and they're very supportive of it, and they they love that I do music, so it's really good. It's definitely
awesome. Yeah. Well, damn. Thank you guys again. Any final things you want to get off to like your listeners? I know you guys said you guys are dropping an EP this Friday. Can we have like a name or anything you want to give us?
Just a girl.
Oh, just a girl.
That's the name.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Oh.
It's just a little tip of the iceberg.
Snippet. Uh-huh. You can say.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
The whole thing.
The whole pie.
There's yeah. more to
keep. It's just a piece world, of the pie, you could say.
The world.
Oh! You see what I did there? I think
Listen very closely to the songs. You'll get that reference.
This is a real Koshin joke right now.
We're really hyped about...
It's deep.
We're really hyped about, you know, the stuff we've been working on super hard to make you guys hear. So check it out.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Koshin loves you.
Surprisingly, one song is explicit. So that's good for us.
Which one?
Just a Girl.
Just a Girl.
Oh, Just a Girl. That's
the title track.
Yeah. All right, well.
And then anything for Greenfest coming up this week that you want to just share? And,
come to the rest of our Greenfest events. If you aren't familiar with the week of events, you can look on the Greenfest Instagram, and it has a week-long schedule of events there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of fun ones coming up. And if you haven't bought your concert ticket yet, buy it. Yeah. So, cheapest concert you'll ever go to.
Facts, get your ticket.
$5. Thank you so much. This was an interview with... Koshin and the chair of Green Fest, brought to you by KCR College Radio in collaboration with the Aztec Music Group.
Thank you guys so much. This was
thank you, guys
thank
so much.
Thank you KCR. Thank you.
Great questions.
Can I push the A button?
Thank you.
Thank you.
AMG.
I don't know.